sports fans new and old, and welcome back to Low Expectations, the Grutter Golf Podcast, brought to you by the No Laying Up Podcast Network. Tonight you've got Kiki.
Hey.
Haley.
Sup?
And Jenny. That's me. I'm really missing tonight sitting in the back bedroom closet slash playroom at Greg's mom's house. Shout out to Maria for hosting us this weekend and host housing in her beautiful home in Sylvania. We all slept like babies, and it was just a lovely time had by all. But we're back to our homes in our usual virtual format, and we're going to tell you even more about our Solheim Cup experience this past weekend. Maybe slightly less manic than the live recording. I think we were all really giddy, a little slap happy. Had walked 30 miles in, 3 days, and feeling a little bit of exhaustion. So still exhausted, but a little bit more relaxed. So as we all know, or maybe you don't know actually, but we're going to tell you, Europe did win 15-13 this past weekend to maintain the cup and pull off the second ever European win on American soil. Pretty crazy. But also the fourth European win in 6 Solheims and the second European win in a row. So even though I think we all came in with like being like, oh, Europe's the underdog, when you look at the math, it's a little less so, which I was surprised retroactively on that.
Yeah, that's surprising to me.
I mean, everyone on Twitter was talking about how on paper, the American team looked like they were going to win. But yeah, you're right, Jen. When you spell it out as far as the previous Solheims go, it feels pretty obvious what was going to happen this weekend.
Yeah, well, and it was kind of obvious to us from the get-go, which I think we covered a little bit before, but I have some further thoughts. So I guess I'll kick things off. You know, we've had 24 hours to digest now. How do you guys feel about the golf tournament, the results, day three?
I mean, it was close.
It really was.
It really was right down to the wire. I mean, we were watching the last hole, and it was like basically like if you make this putt, you get the point or not. I mean, it wasn't like a runaway. Like all the matches were super close. So, I mean, yeah, they won, but it wasn't like a, and they were winning the whole time. That was the thing. They had a slight lead the whole entire time. So it kind of felt like they were like really dominating, but all the matches, most of them were just like 1 point and going to the 18th hole. So
I will say, competition. I will say it was closer than I think it felt at times, especially because Europe came out so strong in the first session on the first day.
Yeah.
And then the first session of the second day was when there was blue all across the board. And then, slowly red ate into that lead a little bit. And then coming in on Monday, Europe had the 2-point lead and again, just got out early with a really strong blue start across the board. And so it just felt like we being the USA, we were just behind the whole time.
Yeah, like you were always catching up.
Yeah, so like it was closer than it felt, but really being on the ground and walking around, it just felt like we had so much ground to cover. And not for nothing, Noah asked me this when he picked me up from the airport. He asked exactly what we were also wondering, which was, were we a bad luck charm to the Americans?
We were also the whole time I felt America was doing pretty poorly because
we were following.
We were following lost.
I had bad juju.
By a lot. Several points.
Got spanked, whoever we were following.
But that means that also whoever we were following is winning, too. Because, I mean, if you think about it, I was usually liking the European. Well, actually, depending on who it was. That was, we all know my great affinity for the team who, the pair who won the Grutter Golf Award for Team Sport. Leona McGuire and Mel Reed, officially. If anybody has their addresses, we need them to send them their prizes, which are hats that we were wearing. Hopefully they like them. So I was rooting for them. But then obviously when we're following Megan, obviously rooting for Megan, obviously rooting for Danielle. I mean, but like it was just hard. I mean, I was kind of – it just sucked in general seeing anybody mess up. Like I just hated it in real life because I – feel kind of like we know them a little bit, I think I like, most everybody. So it was just like, just two sides of a coin,
I mean, it was kind of amazing, though. I was thinking about it, like, we really didn't see that many, like, horrible shots. Like,
no.
Basically, like, three. Like, we saw Nelly chunk it really bad, and it went down the hill. Yeah. And then she chunked it into the creek.
And Emily Peterson's chunk, too, when she had a...
We saw a couple.
Concede. But that wasn't, like... I mean, that's bad, right? But, like, we didn't see... Like, we ourselves have seen, like, the worst of the worst shots in the world, probably, between ourselves and other people. You know, we... I think we see really bad golf usually, so seeing... I mean, we cheer for contact, you know?
Like, and content.
And content. We cheer for content and contact and make content from the contact. But, yeah. So, I mean, I thought that when people didn't clap for certain shots, when they waited to see how it went, I was like, that's rude. Like, balls in the air.
I feel like at least for myself, I had to actively stop myself from clapping after a shot because everything just looks so good. I want to cheer. But, yeah, it's a good point that that's their job, so... Turns out they are really good at what they do.
They're really good at it. Yeah. I was so impressed. Like every single impressed. I feel like I had like just
blown away, really.
Like like a handful of lines and I was like, wow. Or like her swing, or like just like commenting on just the basics of everything.
I know. I mean, seeing those tee shots in real life, you just realize how effortless it is for them. And shocking, really. It really makes me feel very inadequate as a golfer.
Such inspirational swings. Like every single swing is just like so good. Nice and just smooth. Great tempo.
Very I mean really professional.
Some might say professional.
So they should be pros. I will say the putting greens seemed very humbling. The pin locations were absolutely sadistic. It was wild. They were all tucked away. I mean, I don't think that there would have been, like, any easy shots on those greens anyway. No. They seemed wild to me. And actually, the pros were saying they were wild, too. And, like, people who knew what they were talking about were commenting on how wild they were. So I can only imagine how terrifying they must have been. And there were a lot of missed putts.
A lot of missed putts.
That looked like they should have gone in.
Well, specifically from Team USA. I think we said this in the pod yesterday or on Sunday, but being there in person and seeing the greens, too, I think made such a difference. Even the fairways, for that matter. Like, just seeing how different balls lied, like, on the fairway or on the greens. Like, that just made such a difference, too, seeing that in person versus on TV. You lose some of the depth and some of the, I don't know, the nuanced undulations. Yeah.
But, I mean, half the time, though, honestly, I couldn't even see the greens while people were putting because we have to be kneeling down. One tip, you guys, for going under the ropes... You should bring knee pads.
Because just wear the knee pads the whole time.
Kneeling down, like, literally every 5 seconds. Because that's polite to do if you're, like, in front of somebody. Which, actually, I think that should be a front row thing, too. I think anybody who's in front of anybody. Like, let's get some camaraderie out there.
I mean, I would be pissed. Like, if I went and staked out a spot and then somebody asked me to kneel uncomfortably like that, I would be really upset.
Well, but it was weird that at certain points, like, you could find a good one and then, like, you'd forget it for some reason. Like, the terrain was different, but and all the lumps. So you'd be lower down and a lot of the greens, like, had a lot of things going on. We should get Christine Fraser involved to kind of explain some of these things to us now that we've seen it in real life, you know, some of these features. Because I am curious. And you do weirdly kind of get to know the golf course reasonably well. You know, like,
I mean,
you recognize where you are.
We walked it 5 times. actually more. You're right.
Yeah,
probably
way
closer
more.
To 6. But I would hope that we know the course pretty well at this point. I think we do.
Yeah.
After the 30 miles.
Well, because of the first couple of days, I had absolutely no idea where I was ever. So then once I got a handle on, like, where things were, it was powerful.
Yeah.
I felt bold, sometimes too bold, which did you guys, on the Dame, my other faux pas with the Dame, which I had another one. I saw people after Europe had won, I saw a bunch of people like asking her for pictures. And so, or there were two people asked her for a selfie and she was obliging merrily and like smiling and everything. So I was like, oh, this is great. I'll go up and do the same things. So I was like, oh, Dame. Do people not call her Dame?
No, I think they do.
I think they do, too. So
they say it in, like, the full name, like...
Dame Laura?
Dame Laura, or do you say Dame Davies? I don't know. That's kind of a tongue twister.
I think that would be... Yeah, so anyway, turned around the camera and I was like, oh, like, can I, like, can we get a picture too? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, saddled right up. Like, it turns out it was a little bit more like robotic, you know, like she wasn't actually happy. She's just like a pro at this. And so she turned and I was like, oh, okay. And I went to take the picture and it was a video. And so I was like, oh, it's a video. And then she like walked away immediately.
And she was gone in
a
flash.
It was extremely embarrassing. And I, because I wasn't just asking for a picture. Like, I was going to, you know, maybe try to exchange a few words if I could. But
well, you wanted to give her a hat.
I had the hats in my hand. I was ready to, you know, bribe her somehow, even though those were supposed to be for Mel Reed and Carly and then Lisa and Leona. So, but I would have given one to the dame. But I think that she only wears visors anyway. So, like, yeah. I don't think she'd wear it. But anyway. Yeah, I just felt like I should bring that up because we do have on the list, you know, are there any final thoughts that we have on the experience or things we forgot to mention that would have tied in? I feel like we said a lot yesterday.
In our manic recap.
We did. It was a manic recap. Yeah.
No, I think any final thoughts will come through as we're going through this. Yeah.
That's exactly true. But on the results, though, the results. Oh, side.
No. Mm-hmm. I will say this.
Guys were bummed.
I was bummed, but
that
I was
bittersweet.
But I also was thinking, like, if Team USA had won, I don't think it would have felt as sort of warranted as it did mm-hmm. for Team Europe, only because we saw Jen in the press conferences earlier in the week. We saw, you know, sort of these ripples and different shades of. Not attitudes, but different
smoke signals.
You know, yeah, no, we got wind of a few.
We
things.
We were reading between the lines,
and some lines weren't even drawn, but we read between them anyway.
We were reading things that weren't there, probably, but maybe they were. But honestly, I think that's a big part of journalism. It's finding the story
and making it up yourself sometimes,
and making it up yourself if you must. No, taking one thing and taking it out of context and telling a lot of people about it,
and put it and recording it actually, and putting
and
it out
record
for
it and
to
spread it
forever.
Around.
No, but you know, we've said it all weekend long, but Team Europe just felt stronger from the get-go. They felt a little bit more dialed in, like ready to actually, you know, put up a good fight. Team USA, not so much. So I was thinking towards the end of the afternoon yesterday, when it was getting pretty close to Team Europe winning, but it looked like Team USA could still pull it off, I was like, you know what? It's not going to feel as good if Team USA does it. Like, it's obviously going to be really cool in the moment to see. But overall, yeah. Like it was Team Europe's to win. So I am happy with the end result.
I also completely misunderstood. Like, I thought Danielle being in the last group would be, like, that would be down to the wire for some reason. Like, yeah. I guess I didn't. There was so much math to do the whole time that, like, I preferred to just focus on the task at hand, which was, like, watching the one match that I was watching. And, like, maybe in the background looking to see who's leading. But, like, especially all the things going on day three, like, that's not for me at all. Like, when it's like, oh, if this happens, like, she's gotta do, and it's like, I don't really, that's kind of too much, honestly.
Well, day three is a lot more too, because it switched from being comfortable following four matches to now 12.
Yeah,
so that was a whole different exactly. animal, honestly.
You couldn't, you know, it was whiplash trying to figure out what was going on. You were, and also with the internet situation, I could never honestly find the online scoreboard. So I would have to rely on the virtual ones and word of mouth. I think that getting your information word of mouth is what I would encourage people to do.
Get one of those headphone things.
Oh, yeah. We talked about the radios. Those are totally
those
clutch.
Those are available
but
for
I think
the
it's
fans.
A great
15
part
bucks.
Of the thing. You know, part of the cool thing is being able to engage with other fans, right? And be like, oh, my God. You know, like, hey, what even does the scoreboard mean? You know, you guys were able to explain that to a fellow attendee, which was really cool. I was really proud.
Yeah. There's no chance he remembers what we told him.
No, he's blacked out completely, which actually brings us to.
He was really drunk.
Brings us to another point, which we'll skip to, which honestly. The whole experience, I think, for the fans seemed incredible. It was a giant, giant crowd. It was a record-breaking crowd. I think they had 130,000 attendees come through the gates. That's a lot. And everybody actually kept saying to us, too, like, they're like, this is your first LPGA event. I'm like, it's kind of our first professional event in general.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, you're really starting right at the top. This is, like, the most exciting and the most... you know, populated and the best attended, and no other LPGA event is like this.
Which we were saying the other day is exciting because it's just means there's that much potential for it to be really enormous.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, we kept saying also not yet. You know, when people would say, oh, they're not this big, it's like, well, not yet. Like, the entertainment product is here. Like, every, like we were just saying, like, it's truly fascinating to be there. It's so cool. Like, just the coolest thing. Even if we weren't, you know, like, following around their families, you know, like, I think it still would have been cool. We spent a good amount of time on the pavilion. There's no shortage of bars. I think it's totally appropriate. People were getting carted out of there.
Yeah.
People had to wait to get rides. Like, volunteers had to wait to get rides from the Meyer Pavilion because they were trying to get all the drunk people out first.
Well, I mean, that kid that, like, had the golf cart accident, he was...
What was that? Oh,
he was not well. No.
Ollie's cousin?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ollie's
cousin. So, we met... We met Ollie Brett's cousin at the Meyer Pavilion, and he had a huge gash in his knee, and he was bleeding profusely, but he seemed fine.
I mean, he wasn't
and then
really
we saw him
bleeding.
The next day, he was just bandaged up.
He wasn't, like, bleeding profusely, but
it was a lot of blood.
It was bloody, yeah.
Yeah,
it
did not look good.
But he wasn't acting like his knee was bleeding.
Well, also, do you realize that he cut his jeans off? Like, he was wearing full-length jeans. And in whatever altercation happened with the golf cart.
No.
Yes. Yes.
I did not know that. We had a lot of conversations going on at that point. We were really working the room. So.
Yeah, there was like 18 people surrounding us.
Yeah.
But no, he had cut the jeans off, like right around the knee, which I don't really understand why, but it was like a jagged edge. Like it was 100% cut off.
I thought that's amazing. I thought he was just wearing... Jean,
yeah, I thought he was wearing
jean shorts. Yeah,
no. Yeah, and there was definitely no visible dress code.
Oh my god, no! Tons
there were
of
jean
denim,
shorts. There were tank tops. It was really a free for all. I kind of thought, and I think maybe a lot of people think that you're supposed to wear golf clothes to like a golf event, especially if it's at a very nice course.
I still kind of think you should. Like, I was surprised to see denim. I thought that was not allowed.
Was it, like, the patriotic, like, the costume aspect that allowed that, do you think?
I could see that, which, like, I'm all for that. Like, that's all good. Yeah. And not to say, like,
white
jeans,
though.
Yeah. Fine, and it was Labor Day weekend, yeah. I mean, I'm fine with jeans.
White jeans are pretty much always fine. Yeah. I don't know. I guess that is a good point, though, because depending on where the country club is, I think, like, whether there's an event or not, it's just, like, no denim is allowed
right.
here.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
but then, like, what are they going to, if you're, like, a guest at, like, a nice box or something. Are they going to...
No, they're not going to do anything. They're
we'll
not
have to find that out.
I don't think they would turn away anyone.
Yeah, people
though.
Come forward if you've ever been in violation of a dress code at an event that you're not playing in, like
yeah.
a professional
like
event
as a
or
spectator.
Semi-professional or something. Yeah. We do want to hear about dress code situations that you've had. But yeah, I thought it was amazing. It seemed like, I mean, again, you could have a lot of fun there.
You definitely could.
Yeah.
We did.
It was just awesome. I really want to go. Like, everybody's like, oh, you got to go to this. You got to go to this. I want to go to all of them so badly.
Yeah.
I want to become a member of the media.
I think we're on our way.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, did you guys have any favorites, like, in real life? Like, who were your favorite people to watch?
I mean, I think we followed Mel Reed and Leona so much, so I think it's, like, a little bit of, like, the recency bias, but definitely love... Well, Leona, we know. I'm not going to take that away from you, Jen. Mel Reed was really fun to watch. She's such a competitor. I feel like I was excited to see Danielle and Megan and Nelly. When we were following Megan, she wasn't playing that great. Her really star day was Monday, and we didn't see any of that, you know, up close and personal. So as far as, like, Danielle and Nelly went, like, and Jen, you said this, it was just really kind of a bummer to watch these players not play their best and, like, watch them get frustrated. I think in the case of Danielle, like, she definitely knew we were there. So it's like,
she definitely knew.
Yeah. So it's like, did that make it worse for her? You know what I mean?
No,
like,
no,
in terms
no,
of
no.
being the bad luck charm and stuff, it's like, was it, you know, like, should we have? Was there another, like, you know, alternate universe in which, like, we would have talked to her or something while she was playing? Or, like, do you just not – I know that wouldn't be our place anyway, right? Like, there was –
no.
You know, as a member of the media, you are just an observer. You know, you don't insert yourself. You're not the story. Mm-hmm. So I know
think it
that's
takes time.
A rule, but, yeah.
I think it takes time to build, and I think this was – this event, in a lot of ways, was just, you know, a stepping stone. It laid the groundwork, hopefully, for more events to come. And hopefully, someday we are friendly enough and we can just kind of pal around. But I think we have to take some baby steps.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But do you think, like, if it were a normal event, right, if it were just, like, a stroke play event and it's less of, like, a match and less of more about, like – because that's the thing, like, I don't think – that she was playing poorly, right? She was getting outplayed.
Yeah.
Or getting beat, you know? Exactly. She was getting beat.
You're right.
So it's like,
that's a good point.
Maybe in a stroke play event that's like, you know, I mean, I'm sure everybody is playing a win in every single event, but like if it's not a major, right? If it is the ShopRite, if you're following somebody, yeah. Like what is the vibe like then, you know? Like, is it less tense on like a day two?
I mean, it sounds actually, less tense. It certainly sounds less tense. I mean, I think on a Friday, for instance, it would actually be really fun to follow around because, well, first of all, we obviously know the crowds aren't going to be there. The build out isn't going to be there. There's not going to be Meyer Pavilion anywhere else, which is a shame. But yeah, I don't know. I do kind of see that being an easier way to sort of talk and engage with the players, even if we weren't behind the ropes, even if we were just there following them.
Yeah.
It'd be, you know, a little bit more, you know, casual, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's probably. I mean, I was just daydreaming a little bit about maybe a Gruder Pavilion.
Ooh, that would be sick.
And then that led me to be like, what if we someday had our own tournament?
Also.
And there was a Gruder Pavilion. I think, like, the setting up is probably pretty similar, and the choosing of courses and stuff is probably kind of similar to, like, planning a party. It's like, okay, what is the vibe going to be like in this part of the party, of the golf course?
Yeah.
Like, what do you, you know, what are the amenities?
And what is there a band to make it happen? Yeah, exactly. Well, what we were saying is one step before that, maybe, is hosting like a weekend at one of the big women's events. I think it should be the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines because I'm also just dying to go to Torrey Pines. But we could do like
I really
want
to do the KPMG too.
Yeah, a day of golf for the people on the trip. Like suite accommodations and then like set up our own, like either get access to a tent, but like have some influence in like what's going on at the tent, like sort of host the tent in a way. And
I see a path for us in the future of having like a branded Gruder Golf tent pavilion, whatever we want to call it, at every LPGA event.
And it would just be a bar with a,
exactly.
a DJ.
Food
and, a band.
And food.
No,
I
good
think,
food.
I think
freshly
a live
grilled
band,
hot dogs.
A live band, freshly grilled hot dogs.
Fresh
chicken salad,
Uncrustables.
Fresh
and chicken fingers.
Uncrustables.
Do you say chicken salad?
I said chicken salad. Because I like cold food when it's hot out there.
Yeah. That's true. Fruit.
And ice cream.
Ice cream. Okay, so there's going to be
there will be ice cream.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Little mochis, maybe?
No, I hate mochi. I hate that
you
shit.
You do?
I hate that
shit. Why?
So I'm a big texture person. That's why I don't like fruit. But the mochi, it gets in the way of the ice cream. Like, I don't want that jelly.
But it contains the ice cream, though, and it allows you to eat ice cream with your hands.
You know what? I'd rather a spoon, believe it or not.
Or a chipwich.
Or a cone.
Chipwich is good.
We were so hungry all weekend.
Yeah, we really were. We were starving.
I feel like I live in a land of plenty. I have like this giant bag of gummy bears that I've just been grubbing on all night. Anyway, okay, let's get back to the Solheim Cup. Oh boy. So the match play, though.
Yes.
We were just talking about, you know, maybe the difference in stroke play events, which dying to go to those, but love match play. Think it's fascinating to watch. And especially, I feel like there was so much gamesmanship going on that we learned about. Shout out again, Lauren Pond told us a lot of interesting things. And one of them was that early in the round in match play, you give people a lot of putts because you don't want them to practice like putts, even like 3 feet. Because we were like, why are they giving these putts? Like, it's very confusing. Like, why don't they make them putt that? Because if they think you're going to make it, they just don't even make you putt it because then you're not practicing. And then later on in the round, you haven't been putting a lot. And so you're cold.
Yeah.
And so we saw people also, when they've been given a putt, even take the putt anyway when the other player exited the green so they could stay fresh.
Yeah.
Which just like
Daniel Kang
so
was
much
doing a lot of
on.
That. Yeah.
Yes.
Lot of mind games. I was sort of thinking about it. I think the match play, as far as people that are new to golf or maybe are more familiar with other sports, it's a really fun format to watch because you can follow it along more easily as far as who's up, who's down, the points being ordered, which I guess I suppose that could swing the other direction. Sometimes it does get confusing. But as far as like winning the hole goes, I feel like that's a fun way to be introduced to golf. And as far as like paying attention goes too, you know,
yes,
you have to,
definitely.
To keep track of it all.
Yeah.
I want to play in a match play now.
I think we should be playing more match play anyway.
Yeah.
And skins.
Maybe that's our maybe that's our par level events. Yeah, did you do your homework?
No. I know. Okay, this is how I would explain it, like, gun to my head, like, tell me what skins is. That on each hole, it's like you establish what the skins is at the very beginning. So it's like $3 are the skins. And so the first hole, like, it's basically if you win the hole, you get $3 on each hole. And then you can go double or something. So if you tie on one, right, you can say, okay, the next one is 6 skins. So basically, is skins just dollars? Is that correct?
I don't know.
I think it's something. I thought you guys knew, and that's why I was like, okay, what is it?
No, I was just trolling genuinely you wanted you, to know.
And because you put up like a story about you and Molly playing the skins, like bragging about playing the skins, and you had no idea whether you even lost or won.
No, I really do know that we won, and then like Greg just got so drunk because he was drinking like warm Natural Lights and like refused to acknowledge that we won. That's what would happen. I don't think he listens to the podcast. I'm not worried, but he did. He did do that. so that was what happened with the skins. Anyway. But yeah, I think that we should be playing more match play, because also, again, like for a beginner especially, it is easier to keep track of, especially if you're giving someone like strokes, right? So if you're playing with someone who's worse than you, be like, okay, we're playing against each other this one. You get 2 strokes.
Yeah,
you know, and that's fun for them. I think it's very encouraging, probably, to beat you, even though you know gave them some stuff.
Yeah, Noah and I usually do play match play when we go out, but I want to just play it. I want to play it competitively, like with a bigger group, like a tournament style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, oh no, it's not matches this weekend, but actually this is probably a great time to tell everybody, remind them that we're going to be at Watchung Valley this Saturday, the 11th of September, all day long in our joint event with No Laying Up. It's called Mixed Trouble. So it's mixed double teams. So a male identifying and female identifying member of the team. And there is an entry to the NLU Cup at stake. So that's a huge deal. So if you're like big into scorekeeping and everything, you should try it out. Or honestly, if you're not, you don't have to be good at golf. God knows that none of us are. And also we haven't played now in, you know, at least a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be cold, but everyone should come out. Tickets are available on grudergolf.com. There are a few spaces left. We don't have any cart boy tickets singular left, but we have some couples tickets and we have girls only. So sign up. It's going to be really fun. You don't have to be good. Like, the scorekeeping is really just to try something new. You know, you don't have to have a good score. And it's handicapped. So if you submit a handicap and your gin number, you'll get strokes, which, let me tell you, when I was talking about a beginner feeling like they won something because they get strokes, I was talking about myself, because it's like, oh no, like you actually birdied that because you got 2 strokes in this hole when you bogeyed it. So that's really a great way to play.
It's really exciting.
As far as your mindset goes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it inflates your ego, I would say.
Yeah, yep. Really encouraging.
I was riding high after Denver. I told a lot of people that didn't care about how well I did.
I mean,
So, yeah, that's not a match event, but it is a scored event, and it's a great kind of time to flex your competitive muscle. So come one, come all. Let us know if you have questions. It's going to be – I'm really, really, really excited.
I'm really, really, really excited.
Are we doing a party at 5-Iron on Friday?
Well, it's the weekend warm-up.
Yeah. But are we going to, like, hang there after?
We can, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Built-in party.
Probably.
Herald Square?
We're going to be there from 12
p.m. I haven't been there yet.
Herald Square.
I haven't either, actually.
We're going to be there all day.
Oh, yeah. Can we say? Can we say what's going on?
Yeah.
Callaway's giving us clubs.
Say it as fast as you can.
I feel like we should have dropped this in the same episode, because we're going to sound like real, like, jerks. We're living high on the hog right now. Inside the ropes, the Solheim Cup.
Okay,
that is true. That is true. I don't want to get imposter syndrome. Yes.
We've been working our asses off, and we have not a penny to show for it, except for inside the ropes at the Solheim Cup.
We might as well be a not-for-profit agency at this point. Like, we're
the worst profit company ever.
Slightly for-profit.
So, just unintentionally not profitable.
Yes.
Yet. So, two things. Callaway is giving us, shout out Jen Turk.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're new to the pod, go back and listen to the episode that we did with Jen Turk and Amanda Balionis, because it is a treat. It's really fun.
It's very incredible. And so she just got promoted
Congratulations.
Jack Callaway, congratulations. And she is offered to give us clubs, full bag of clubs, putter through driver. And okay, like, on top of that,
I'm feeling nauseous.
5-Iron has offered to fit us for said clubs. So not only do we get the clubs, we also get the full fitting in the fitting lab, which is 5-Iron's club fitting business that's in the all the 5-Iron locations, and the one at Herald Square is supposed to be really sick. And I mean, we are going to do a whole episode on it probably, because so many people ask us about club fitting and things like that, and
we have no answers.
We have no idea. No clue at
all. What kind of club should I get? I'm like, I don't know, Craigslist.
Yeah. So now,
can you find me in your garage?
So, I mean, you know, buying new clubs obviously is, you know, expensive to, you know, to a point where it's prohibitive for a lot of beginners.
Like, but, we haven't done it yet.
Yeah, we haven't done it. But I think there is, like, you know, there are some things that you can do. And there's so much that you probably learn from a club fitting, even if you're not, like, an expert. So we're going to have, stay tuned on that of answers.
Yeah, I think we'll have a lot just more context, too, when people do ask us around clubs. You know, we'll know that much more as far as where to point them.
Yeah. So that's going to be the whole day on Friday from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And then the weekend warm up. And then the next day is Mixed Trouble. So big weekend coming up again.
Yeah. And actually, if you're not in New York, we also have the weekend warm up happening where, Kiki?
In D.C. and Baltimore and Philadelphia.
Yeah. So it's a great opportunity if you really or any level. It's a clinic. It's an all-ladies clinic. You get two drinks included, and it's 2 hours, and sometimes people hang out after. Yeah, and you have a lesson. So it's a little clinic, but low pressure. It's, like, not going to be, you know, a drill sergeant type of scenario.
Yeah, and you self-select into, like, never held a club before, you know, been to the driving range a couple times, play, whatever. You break up into different groups, so you're going to be with people who are, you know, around your same skill level. And we have it every single month, the first Friday of every month, except this one is the second Friday because it was Labor Day. And we were
at the Solheim Cup.
Yeah. But we were busy. Normally, it's the first Friday of every month in all the cities that 5-Iron has a location. So check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Okay, so enough SpawnCon. We were talking a lot about...
It's very organic, though.
It was. And we had to, I mean, it's not even, it's our own con, except we did give kind of like some 5-Iron plugs, which I am really excited to go to Herald Square because I haven't been there yet. So I think that since we plugged 5-Iron, we also need to tell you that Jared asked if Gwen Stefani was pink.
Very, very call genuinely. Him out.
Shout out to Jared. It was very, very funny.
Really came full circle at the end of one of the press conferences when who was up there? Was it Liz?
Christina.
Oh, it was Christina.
Or was it Liz? I forget who said it.
I think it was Christina. Pat Hurst said, "Let's get it started," referring to let's open up the floor for questions. And Christina said, "Oh, that's very fitting. That's a Gwen Stefani song." But it wasn't.
It's a Pink song.
It's a Pink song.
Yeah.
And that was after Jared had asked that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so we're like, I guess a lot of people think that Gwen Stefani is pink and vice versa.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Pink fan.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where the mix-up is.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. A lot of that Venn diagram is mostly a circle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we were saying anyway that that we think, okay, so we're definitely going to the next Solheim, which is in Spain.
Yeah.
Vamos. And I think we'll definitely do a trip out there. It was just a blast. Maybe that's where we'll have our nice little tent.
Yeah.
And that'll be so fun and cool. Like, I've never been to Spain.
Oh my god. Love Spain. Yeah.
Never been.
You guys are gonna love it.
I think so. Wait. The home of my boy John Rahm.
Yeah.
And Carlota Segunda.
Carlota.
And Sevi. Very famous. But yeah, so we're definitely going there. But then, so between 2023 and 2024, so the Solheim was on even years, and then it switched to odd years because
of September 9/11.
Yeah. So that was a while ago. That was 20 years. Almost exactly. So, so they're switching it back, though, to even years. So they're going to do back-to-back.
Then it was COVID. So it was like it got off track, and then it got back on track, and then
there's 2018, and then it was supposed to be 2020.
And then it was supposed to be 2020.
Okay, okay.
And then it was COVID, so then it was 2021. And
okay,
because so
I was like, wait, because I was, again, trying to do the math on if it was supposed to be 01, and then it, you know, so,
yeah.
Again.
It got off track twice,
so
that's why.
So much math in golf. Okay,
so
yeah.
I don't understand why it needs to, like, what's up with it needing to be even years?
Well, do they do it in the opposite years to the Ryder Cup?
No, it's the same, no. It's the always, Ryder Cup is, like, next week.
No, I know, but I'm just wondering if that's also offered.
They want to alternate.
They want to alternate.
No, them. I think it's supposed to be in the same year as the Ryder Cup. I think.
They also, I think, want. I would imagine maybe do they also want to keep it separate from the Olympics?
Oh,
no, because then it's going to be 2024 is an Olympic year.
Oh, and that's going to be the next
every even
track.
Year is an Olympic year.
Yeah, I don't know. There must be a reason.
It's supposed
we'll
to be
because
this was the 2020 Olympics.
No, I know.
So Olympics is always
all
even.
Right. Anyway, the point is,
think it should be every year.
Yes.
Cut out the even and odd. Even and odd, we'll shake hands and say both of us.
We wouldn't have had to have this conversation.
Yeah.
It was just every year.
Just cut out the middleman here.
Well, because the justification is that it's not going to be back in the U.S. for 4 years now. Because two years it's in Spain, and then another 2 years it's back in the U.S. That's way too long.
And we were saying that, you know, it was a record-breaking year in terms of fanship that came out to Toledo. But you sort of forget about it in the next 4 years, especially if you're not actively following the LPGA and the players. You know, it comes back around, and the next time, you know, it's in Arkansas, and you're not going to make the trip for it or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Like, any buzz or excitement or fanship that was created this time around, I have to assume, you know, falls off to some degree. If it was every other year in the U.S., I think that'd be such a different story. And especially for the LPGA. I don't really give a shit about the Ryder Cup. For the LPGA and the Solheim Cup, I think it'd be so much more fun to have that every year. I think the girls would love it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like everybody loves it. It's a blast. It's a party.
Yeah.
The players are dancing all over the place in the first tee. And
yeah,
so are the people. Everybody,
the
there's a lot of dancing.
And the coaches.
It's Julie Inkster put on a full-length performance.
We'll
was that a Bruno
it.
Mars song?
It was Bruno.
Yeah.
I figured which
Do
one.
Do we have it? Do we have the video?
Yeah, I have
oh,
it.
Oh, we should post it.
Yeah, we will.
I really wanted to hang out with her after that. I was like, wow, she's got moves.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she comes to my wedding.
I told you guys there was going to be dancing.
No, I knew.
Well, no, you said you personally wanted to dance.
Yeah. You could have.
You said nothing about Julie Inkster
dancing. We
were
a little bit. Well, I didn't know that the coaches were going to be dancing. You're right. But I got a sense that there would be dancing around the first tee.
Yes.
Yeah,
there was.
There definitely was.
Meghan Keane got up there a little bit with her.
She's a great dancer. She loves to dance.
She was dropping it low.
Yeah, she was. She really was. It was very, very fun. I don't know why they wouldn't want to do it every year. I don't know if, like, does it conflict with another event or something? Or, you know, I think it seems like there's room on the schedule for events. How much, like, preparation does it take, though? You know, is that, like, part of it? Is it, like...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure...
Or is it
sure,
just like, another tournament?
No,
I'm sure it's a lot of work for whoever's putting on the tournament, but, like, that's what the
job
is.
I meant the players, though. I wasn't even... Yeah. Or do they just... I mean, they're all good enough to make it, so it's not like you have to, like, train for it, you know? It's like you play your game.
I would
way.
Say
they're
the
always
biggest,
practicing anyway.
I think the biggest thing is just selecting the teams themselves because it's such a different mm-hmm. style of event, obviously. But, you know, that, as we saw in the last couple of weeks, like that's finalized the week beforehand. It's not like it's, you know, set in stone a long time in advance. So, yeah, I would say the planning for the event certainly takes time. The players, I don't see needing to necessarily practice.
They're just good anyway.
They're just good at whatever they're doing. Exactly.
I was thinking of like the Olympics. I was like, wow, it's a big commitment to do Solheim every year, you know.
But think about the Olympics this year. Like, they just flew over there and hopped out and took
for
a
golf,
few swings.
I just watched on the plane somewhere The Weight of Gold, the Michael Phelps documentary, and it was about all of the health issues that the Olympians have. Very fascinating, very sad. You know, because especially for, like, a more, like, I mean, actually, even for the bigger sports, you know, like, if you're, like, a famous swimmer, like, you're only famous every 4 years, really.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to, like, sustain that. And, like, they don't get paid that much unless you can get sponsorships. And then, like, also just, like, the nature of being an athlete, like, if your body betrays you, then, like, you feel like you have no identity anymore. You know, like, once you're not good at your sport anymore, you're like, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, welcome to, like, everyone else's normal lives, you guys. Like, we're always asking that. Like, it
sucks. I went through that in seventh grade when I realized I can't do a lot of things.
I just do everything very mediocre.
When I got cut from varsity freshman year basketball, I was like, I'm quitting. Who am I? I was like, this is offensive. And then the other thing that, you know, everyone's a buzz about and I think definitely should happen is a President's Cup for ladies.
Yes. Yeah.
So with the Asian players and the Australian and New Zealand players.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, because it did feel, I mean, I think that's the other reason I'm really excited to go to another event, because even more of my favorite golfers will be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like seeing Lydia Ko, like we didn't get to see her. So that's like another thing that is left to do, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there's just so many players. Jen, you were saying, I think you had looked at like all of the winners on tour this year, and it was a pretty even spread across the globe. So that in and of itself is like a very good reason to have this style of an event with everyone, not just Europe and America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be so fun to watch. It's so fun.
So fun. So if we've gotten you excited to go to an LPGA event, which you really should be, honestly. I want to go to as many as we possibly can. I think KPMG next year is definitely one. I will go to the ShopRite, but I have a wedding. Congratulations to Gina and Tommy. So won't be available for that. But it's coming to Galloway, New Jersey, which is right outside Atlantic City. A very fun little trip. First weekend of October. So October 2nd. So September 30th through, you know, October 3rd. There's a casino. You can gamble. We went and stayed at Sea View and played the course. It's very fun. Right, you know, it's got some water. Is that like a marsh or a bay or
I think it's a bay. Yeah.
Okay. The bay course. The bay course. Okay. So it's the bay.
Oh, my God.
Like, there's like a marsh in there or something. So, yeah, it's really fun. Easy to get to if you're on the East Coast. And you can make a little weekend of it or just make a day of it. And I looked up the tickets. It's $15 for a day pass. $30 for a full weekend pass or full week pass. Wow. And then you can get an open bar tent for $225 if you're really looking to ball out. If you go to the casino first, play craps for a little while, and then use your money to buy the open bar ticket. Because even the golf, I mean, what you can, like, if you factor it in, like, you'd pay $150 to watch golf, like, watch really sick golf, and then that's only, like, a $75 open bar, like, pays for itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a plug. That's a suggestion for a weekend activity.
Good plug, Jen. I'm convinced.
I'm in the mood to plug tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Just trying to, just want to endorse.
Here to endorse. Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I do know that the Solheim Cup is a very unique experience. It's a very different atmosphere and energy. But I think what we'd like to see is a similar energy at all LPGA events. We obviously can't compare it to any because we haven't been to them yet. But but once we have Grutter Golf pavilions everywhere, it's going to be a riot.
Yeah, I'm like genuinely hungry for more. I genuinely miss it already. Like, in a lot of ways, Haley, you saw this at one point. You're like, kind of feels like they're cheering for us. Like,
only said that because, okay, Kirsten will back me up on this. I only said that because there was a few points. There was one point specifically. We were walking. It was when we were watching Kupcho and I think Leona. Were we following them? No. It was Kupcho and Salas. We were following them. It was on Sunday. And we were walking up to the green and the crowd was chanting, "Let's go, Jennifer." And I swear to God,
you like raised your eyebrows and like looked back. Like,
and also like stood up straighter and was like really there like to absorb it all.
And Haley and I were like dying laughing behind you. You didn't even notice. You start walking farther and farther ahead of us. Like,
you started
looking around.
You started walking faster as if you were going up to the green to putt.
It was I won't lie, like I was experiencing like I was doing stolen valor. Like I really was masquerading as if I was like, it just felt like, I don't know, the energy was palpable. Like,
and I feel
like, you know, it wasn't like we weren't doing anything athletic, but like we were doing something new and like exciting. So like I feel like I felt that excitement, you know, and like, you know, it was our first coverage of the event, which is really funny that everybody was calling it coverage too. Really appreciated everybody saying good job to us.
Really?
So but you know what? Out. It was really nice. It was gratifying.
We were saying that we were surprised, but in thinking back, we were fucking covering it.
We were. I mean, we covered it.
That was
we
the point of going.
And we did a good job, I think.
Thank you.
So I think we piqued everyone's interest.
I really do.
I mean, I had a lot of people reach out even before the weekend started, but just us talking about it leading up, I had a lot of people say to me, like, I'm tuning in because of Gruder Golf's mentioning that's of it fucking and build sick. Up. It's great. I mean, that's the exact reason why we're doing this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, right? Like, I definitely talked to a lot of people that, like, I think that we very uniquely, like, know, like, have a lot of people in the network that, like, literally had no idea what the Solheim Cup was. Similar to, like, no idea what golf was either, you know, like, brand new.
Yeah.
Like, brand new fans. And if you can, it's easy to like. It's so easy to like.
It's really easy to like.
I mean, it's just such a fun thing to follow, too. I mean, it's
so engaging. And there are so many stories that we don't even know yet, that nobody knows yet.
Tip of the iceberg.
But they're there, though. Yeah.
We're going to scratch the surface.
Guys, yeah. We can't even tell you, like, all the scoops that we got because I don't even know what to do with them, honestly.
Well, we don't want
to
betray anyone that gave us the scoops, but we also. I think we just need, a little bit more of a, I think, a big picture, and I think we kind of need our own picture before we can
talk
about it.
We need an angle. We need a context. You know what I mean? Like, we're not trying to just, like, break any random
story. Well, we're not gossiping
here. That's gossip.
Yeah, we're not gossiping.
That's gossip.
We're not going for the cheap stuff. Exactly.
Yeah. This is Vanity Fair.
We want the meat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is, like, the cut, but, like, better.
So we need to find it ourselves.
Yeah. So just stay tuned. Don't give up on us yet.
Yeah, you can say you knew us when. Yeah, which is just really, really, really so exciting.
Well, speaking I know of the that, question actually, on, too, I was going to say, you're going to say you knew us when, is we had a few people ask us to take photos.
I know.
Yeah. Like, well, call us out. Call us out and Gruder say, Golf. Oh, my God, Gruder Golf, and ask us for a picture.
And I was going to say, even more guys calling us out. Yeah.
Gary, and then some people called us out to say, hey, get out of here.
But
there saw were all ends of the spectrum.
But those were the employees.
Yeah, all the volunteers on their high horses were like, hey, get out. And we're like, pink. It's pink, the lanyard. And they're like, what?
Yeah, well.
No, but there, the fans, that was honestly the most confusing part to me. I was like, how do you know who we are?
It's all, well, they know because of No Laying Up. No, so I know. Shout out to No Laying Up. And well, talk about and getting Gary. Called out. The No Laying Up guys, though, really got called out. Every single time they were walking past, big fan, big fan. And honestly, Big Randy got called out.
The celebrity.
Dare I say, more than Bubba Watson, who was also at the event. People were calling for Randy more than they were calling for Bubba. And I'm not joking.
And you know what? I think Bubba knew and felt it.
He might have. I mean, Randy is so tall, so it's easy to see him.
He's easy to spot.
But regardless, there was genuine fanship there.
Yeah. It was a sight.
It was really nice to see. And probably a lot of people, you know, like you were saying, Jen, were there because of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, like totally. They do such a good job getting people to go. So shout out to them. I mean.
Yeah.
It was cool to see that play out in real life because we know that they do that already for the women's game, the Symetra Tour, LPGA, all of it. But no, I think we said it earlier this weekend. We have to assume that every person that was there that was a No Laying Up fan was there because of them, and there were a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. A ton.
Yeah.
We should genuinely go live at a Symetra Tour event, like cover.
Are we allowed to go live at those events?
Okay. So those are some things, too. You're not allowed to go live at the event, it's in the rule book. I wouldn't even know where to find the rule book if it hit me in the face. didn't even know there like was an official one. I thought it was just like everyone kind of knew. But yeah, you're not allowed to go live. I went live on the first tee and that was frowned upon. So we had to delete it. But yeah, but I know I think because the thing is Symetra isn't on TV, right? So what rights would it be competing with? And anyway, like, you know, we're not going to with one cell phone be able to cover like in any sort of way that can compete with like a real camera, like, you know, professional.
We're not coming for Golf Digest in that way.
No. Well, they don't broadcast. You know what I mean? Like Golf Channel isn't worried about, you know, little old us, right? Unless they are.
Not until we come take their jobs.
Did we even say? No, that was on your birthday though. So we did talk about getting in the booth with Judy.
We did.
Yeah, we did. With Craig.
But we haven't talked about our scheme now just to take over the Golf Channel. That's now our long play.
I was really daydreaming a lot this weekend, like a lot of harebrained ideas. One of them, I was like, what if someday like we just had, maybe not the Golf Channel, but like a channel or a golf channel.
No, you said the golf channel.
Okay,
you
I said, did. Okay, fine. Okay,
don't walk
okay.
it back now.
It was after we took a quick break after the U.S. officially lost. One beer. Chugged a beer, popped back into the ropes, and you said, one day, us and Nolang Up should probably take over the golf channel. That's exactly what you said.
If someone else bought it and placed us at the head.
Yeah, like, yeah. We won't be able to buy it, but, like, if you get some sort of, like, billionaire benefactor,
yeah,
that's, like, that just decides to shake things up.
We can absolutely find one of those. I think through our reporting and our coverage, we'll definitely come across one or two.
Yeah. So everybody putting out the bat signal, a billionaire benefactor that wants to give us the golf channel.
And wants to shake things up.
And if you want to shake things up, listen, we for certain shook things up, I would say.
I think so.
Things that I don't think anybody ever thought would be shaken either.
No.
I think it was, yeah.
I don't know. Again, because this is all a blur, I don't remember if we said this on the Sunday podcast, but I think maybe one of my favorite parts of the entire week was everyone that works at the LBGA in the media center telling us to have fun every day when we were like setting out to go to the course, like, have fun.
Hey, have fun, girls.
Yeah. And I was like, I have a feeling you don't say this to anyone else that's coming through here, but I don't care.
To, like, the BBC guy.
Right.
Hey, bud, have fun out there.
But I don't care because I think that's exactly who we are and who we want to be, are the girls that are coming in, like, thoroughly enjoying ourselves and having a ball with it because, you know, it, again, works towards our end goal of more people following the LBGA and thinking it's also fun. So I'm happy to see that they reciprocated the energy that we were putting out there. I liked all of them.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Just grinning right now. Just thinking about it. Like, I think the weather was perfect.
The weather was
perfect.
Like,
it was like sunny, like, just like scattered clouds, like, just beautiful. The course was so pretty.
Yeah.
And like, just the scenery and like, just everything about it was just like very picturesque and like, just created some really like wonderful, like, visual and emotional memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
So really, wow, I'm just, I want to go back so bad. Can't believe we woke up this morning at 4:30 a.m.
Oh my God.
We're still standing.
4:10.
Okay, so we should probably go to bed.
Yeah, we should wrap it up.
Okay, so I do want to just tell people, I know a lot of people have been asking, did we end up going to the after party? The short answer is no. But when we you know, reached out to Carly and Lisa McGuire, tweeted at them, and then Carly did tell us where it was after. But it was at 9:44, and we were already in bed because, as I mentioned, we had to wake up at 4:30. So
it could have been.
It could have. Like, I honestly think it's the best of both worlds because really all we wanted was to be invited.
Yes.
Yeah.
Going would have been physically impossible. Like, we would not be here right now. I would be in Detroit still.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Also,
you just got back from Detroit, so.
I did just get back, but that was my own fault. No, I think it's the long play because, again, I think not most people, but, you know, I think a lot of the people that we were following probably noticed us because, you know, you don't see three, I was going to say middle-aged girls.
We are middle-aged girls, definitely. Old girls, I would say.
Yeah,
we're
old girls.
Old girls.
Three old girls wearing...
Good,
like,
old girls.
wearing matching outfits and, like, running around inside
unusual.
The rooms. You know, I think they probably saw us, but now I think it's better that we weren't also there, like, in their faces again. So I think,
yeah.
It just, it's the long play. We're not, like, I don't want them, I really don't want them to think that we're losers. So I think the slower and more deliberately we can play.
I think that might be.
Yeah, we might. They might think the matching outfits definitely like could be spun that way.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if we had gone to the party last night, we would have been too giddy and too in their faces, and it would have confirmed that we're losers.
Yeah. Actually, I feel like at a party, that's where we really would have shown. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know how to be golf reporters. We know how to go to a party.
I know, but
you know, like, I feel like they would be like, oh, I get it now. You know, like, I think it would have tied everything together for them.
I think so too.
Someday when we eventually party with them, they'll be like, oh, this all makes sense.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. I think I was more hesitant around the venue of the party because I still think it was in, like, a conference room at the hotel.
Yeah.
And that is not our territory.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Reminds me of a fesh.
Like, if we were in a true bar, then we're good to go.
Yeah. If it had been the pub, the Irish pub.
Game over.
That would have been like, yeah, well, let's get out of bed. We'll just bring our stuff there and go straight to the airport. I mean, that's kind of what I thought was going to happen, you guys. Like, I had a lot of scenarios in my head, and that was one of them. That was like, well,
I'm
just...
I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. No, it would be... like, God, today would have been... Horrible. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible. So I think, you know, overall, even not going to the party wouldn't change a thing.
No.
Wouldn't
change a thing.
Like, not absolute thing. Perfection. You know, I would have made
we
the coffee
learned
better.
So
I
much.
Could change one thing.
Oh, yeah, the coffee. Was
but that's
water.
It. That's it.
And that's the food.
It. And the food.
Yeah, the food. But I mean, you know, very secondary.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's, I think that's all we got. And I think we really should go to bed. We're also at a very reasonable time limit for us, which I'm proud of too. I think
yeah,
we're
under
just,
an hour. We're getting better at
quickie.
Everything.
Amazing. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So before we blow it, do you guys have any parting words for the people?
No, we're going to be back next week. This is going to be
Oh, no, I know. But yeah, we'll tell you, we'll follow up on the weekend next week and maybe some other things too.
Yeah.
So until then, we love you very much. Thank you. Really, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're part of the reason that we got to go. And that was really just the joy of my whole life. Like yeah. I really, oh my God, it was better than I thought it was going to be, but I already thought it was gonna be so good, but okay, never mind. Okay. I'm going to blow it now with the timing. All right. Anyway, hang loose, swing easy. We love you. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Good night.
She gotta shake a little something. Ooh. Throwing that thing from left, right, side to side. She gotta have her own money. Oh yeah. Shout out to the girls that pay they rent on time. If you ain't at a party, take your ass back home. If you getting naughty, baby, here's my phone. Slide with your boy to the bar. Slide with your boy to the car. I've been searching everywhere and now here you are. Ooh, chunky. Looking for them girls with the big old hoops that drop it down in Daisy Dukes.
I wanna get down.
Yeah, them the ones I'm tryna recruit. I'm looking at you. Yeah, you, baby. Now let me hear you say you're ready.
I'm ready.